Rainmaker FM.
This episode of Copyblogger FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. I'll tell you a little bit more about this complete solution for digital marketing and sales later, but you can check it out and take a free spin for yourself at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. Well, hello there. It is good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital, and I like to hang out with the folks who do the heavy lifting over on the Copyblogger blog. You can always pick up additional links, additional free resources, and other cool things by visiting copyblogger.fm. That's also where you'll find the complete archive for the show. So today I thought I would talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is how to get more people to your content, how to get more traffic, how to get more likes, more shares, how to expand the size of your network, how to get more people paying attention to the content that you're writing or producing, either audio or visual. Because if nobody can find it, nobody can act on it. So content marketing that doesn't have any traffic also doesn't have any effectiveness. So today I'm going to talk about a couple of fairly tried and true ways to pick up traffic, to get more attention to your content. But I also have a resource for you that spells out some additional strategies because it's a big topic and there are multiple ways to do this. And actually, before we start, I want to touch on that, which is if you only get traffic from one place, you're putting yourself in a really vulnerable position. So for example, there was a time when probably the easiest way to get traffic was to buy it in the form of Google AdWords, to use Google's advertising platform to buy your traffic. It was very cost effective. It worked really well. And then a couple of things happened. One, Google would occasionally just shut down somebody's account for no discernible reason. There was something about it that felt hinky to Google, and they just pulled the plug on it because they're Google. And the other thing is that those ads quit being quite so cost-effective and started to be actually pretty expensive. So if your entire business had depended on being able to buy traffic cheaply from Google, you had a significant problem. So the strategies I'm talking about today, you know, you're probably not going to want to attack all of them at once, but you want to create a long-term plan for yourself to diversify your sources of attention. Make sure that there are lots of different ways people can find you, people can get to you. Some of them are going to work better than others. That's just the nature of how things work. But you really want to have a diverse profile for how people can find you so that you don't have unpleasant surprises with your project or with your business. So let's talk about that first source of traffic, which is paid traffic. Now, this one waxes and wanes. So as I mentioned, there was a time when Google was a great source of very, you know, reasonably priced traffic. That's less true than it used to be. But right now, there are some other options. So for example, Facebook has some very cost-effective traffic, and it's crazy how well-targeted it is. But is that going to last forever? Highly unlikely. So paid traffic, good sources of paid traffic, kind of come and go. Right now, we're having a good moment for paid traffic. Some people are having really nice luck with LinkedIn paid traffic, although it is very expensive. For some businesses, it's also very cost effective because the payout is really good. And if you are in a time when paid traffic is working well and you have a good source, you know, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to turn the faucet on and off by, you know, running more ads or fewer ads. Paid traffic is one of those things that changes all the time. Andrea Vall did a really good presentation for us at our live event in Denver on it, for those of you who saw her there. So I won't get into specifics about how to pull it off because that's going to change, but I will give you a kind of enduring principle for it, which is if you're going to pay for traffic, you're going to do a pay-per-click advertising program of some kind, what normally works best, and again, you always have to test when you're paying for traffic, but what normally works best is to send your traffic, the clicks from Facebook or Google or what have you, to content, strong content, that has a call to action to join your email list. Now, one of the cool things about paid traffic is you can test, for example, which content works particularly well for you, what calls to action work particularly well for you, you know, and then what kinds of offers do well with the traffic that you get. Do you have different offers for your Facebook traffic than your LinkedIn traffic? You probably would. But paid traffic, when it's working, and it is working right now, you know, it's a nice way to boost the signal. I wouldn't rely on it 100% because, again, it does wax and wane. So the other time-tested and nail-bitey way to get traffic is our old friend SEO, search engine optimization. SEO, almost everybody who's online, you know, has thought about SEO at some point, which is the fine art of getting to a high spot on Google's first page of the Google search engine results page. Yes, there are other search engines, but when we're talking SEO, you know, most of the time we are talking about Google. It's less technical than it used to be. And I will give you kind of a principle for ranking well in search engines, which is that search engines are programmed to detect signals of quality, to detect signals that a piece of content is good. And so the smartest way to play that game is to create content that generates these signals of quality by being good. If you have content that is useful, if you have content that is interesting, if you have content that speaks to actual audience problems that they care about and solves them in a good way, you will throw off what are called signals of quality. So for example, people will link to you because your content is good. People will spend more time on your site because your content is good. People will do all the other things that generate signals of quality. Now, volume is helpful. In other words, having a lot of content is helpful, at least at this, you know, today, but only if it's good. So a large volume of thin, weak content, Google kicked that to the curb, you know, years ago. Another thing that is helpful is to have a reasonably tight topic focus. If you have a site about vegan nutrition, then it's helpful if that's mostly what you talk about. You know, you talk about specific elements of vegan nutrition in different contexts, and you don't spend a lot of time talking about the election, our favorite distraction at the moment, or other topics. It doesn't mean you never talk about other topics. It doesn't mean, you know, that you don't throw in some maybe personal anecdotes or personal stories, things like that, but you're not doing that for SEO purposes. And if it's too diffuse, the algorithms can sometimes have a hard time figuring out what your site is about. When you think about ranking in search engines, think about a big, useful robot who's trying to understand your site. And so what could you do to the site that would help the big, useful robot understand what it was about? Now, that's a useful way to think about it because it is actually reality. You know, the algorithms behave just like a robot would. They are in some ways very, very sophisticated, and in other ways, they're still a bit primitive. So make it simple for the robot to understand what you're doing, but always, 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 always with search engine optimization, create content for audiences first, search engines only very, very distant second. Now, one of the most important factors when you are trying to optimize your content for search engines and other forms of sharing is you want to make sure that your content is very, very shareable. And this actually brings me to a concept that I talk about sometimes called the second customer. So your customer is somebody who buys from you. That's a client, a person who pays for your product or service. Simple, right? The second customer is a person who may not actually buy what you have. They may not be in the market for what you have. They may be too advanced, or they just may not be in the market for what you sell. But they have an audience of people who pay attention to them, and they talk you up. And this could be, you know, a big blogger. It could be somebody with a massive social media presence, but it can also just be somebody who has a lot of friends who are interested in the kind of topic that your business is around. These are the people, they think what you're doing is cool. They think the way that you are doing it is cool, and they will share your content like crazy if you give them the opportunity. This is one reason that I happen to believe that purging your email list of people that you don't think are clicking or that you don't think are buying is not a good idea, because you do not know what's hiding there in the behavior. Email lists are not perfectly transparent. We don't always see, you know, when somebody comes to our site, maybe they picked up a link in their email box and they said, oh, copy blogger, there's a new copy blogger post up. They may not click on the link. They may go right to the site. They may forward it to a friend who ends up, you know, being an amazing customer. They may tell their own list about it. They may talk you up on social media. They may be using a different email address with their PayPal. So I'm not a fan of this idea of purging your email list of people who don't click or don't buy. You save a couple of cents, you know, on your email program. But I think what you potentially miss out on, even if you're only missing out on a few people whose behavior you can't see, I just don't think the upside is there. And checking in with my friends who are more knowledgeable than I am about the technology of email, I can't find anybody who really believes that that you get into more spam filters if you have kind of dead weight on your list. If you have people on your list who just aren't engaged, the people I'm talking to don't think that's true. So that's probably one of those topics of high controversy that we could have a conversation about. So the second customer is somebody who shares your material, may or may not be a buyer. What does it take to make that person happy? What does it take to make the influencers share your content? First, of course, you know I'm going to say this, your content has to be good. What does that mean? It means that your content has to be useful and it has to be interesting. It needs to be both. So your content solves some kind of useful problem that annoys people, and it does that in an engaging and an interesting way with some personality. It's lively, it's easy to read, it's enjoyable to consume. When you want to optimize sharing, you also want to make sure that your site has immediate appeal. And that means it doesn't look shady. It doesn't look, your web design's not super dated. The colors are, you know, reasonably nice. The design is reasonably good. It does not have to win a design award, but it has to look reasonably good. It also needs to be formatted well, so you haven't created this wall of gray on gray text in a tiny, tiny little font that nobody can read. You've used things like subheads to break up your content and make it just very fresh and approachable and readable and shareable. And we're going to pause here for just a moment and hear a few words about the Rainmaker platform. This episode of Copyblogger FM is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. So I have to tell you, I have owned a digital business in one form or another for a long time. And when I started out, I have to say building a reasonably complex functioning website was just hard. It was expensive. It took a lot longer than you wanted it to, and it didn't necessarily work exactly the way that you hoped it would work when you rolled it out. Now, those kinds of frustrations were exactly what led us to develop the Rainmaker platform. We wanted to make it simple enough that you could make a fast start, but also robust enough that you could add that more complex functionality that can really, really change things for a digital business. So I'm talking about elements like a membership community, multiple products, free and paid products, and email automation. We also threw in all of the things that tend to be a hassle to manage. So Rainmaker Platform includes premium hosting, it includes all of your WordPress upgrades, and it includes some very, very serious security, as well as your business email. And all of that is wrapped up in your choice of dozens of great-looking, mobile-responsive design frameworks, which you can literally change anytime you like just by clicking a button. I have to say, right now, Rainmaker Platform, which includes the premium hosting, includes all the features, the cool membership capability, the email automation, landing pages, podcasting tools, all the bells and whistles. Right now, Rainmaker Platform is a lower monthly fee than I was paying just for email on my old personal site. And I don't need any kind of expensive consulting to get it set up. I can just get started. And that's not an uncommon scenario. It all works together, which means it works. And as your sophistication as a business owner grows, the features are there to grow right with you. You can get started at rainmaker.fm/platform. And right now you can get 14 days free to try it out and get a taste of how quickly you can get up and running with a truly powerful website for your business. You can get that rolling at rainmaker.fm/platform. And then, of course, you know, your site has to be secure. So if you have a problem with that and your site gets hacked, that really takes a toll on your shareability. People just, obviously, they're not going to want to share content from a site that's been hacked, and you'll have a little residue of unease around that for a while. Obviously, you know, things happen. Sites do get hacked. You just want to take it very seriously and take your site security very seriously to minimize the chance of that happening and to fix it very, very promptly if it does happen. And the overarching principle that makes the second customer share, that makes anybody share content, is that it makes them look like heroes for finding it. You know, so that goes back to the useful and interesting. If you publish something really cool and nifty, those influencers, that's what they do. They go around on the web and they find things that are cool and nifty and share them. That person becomes a hero with their audience for sharing it. And the second customer is sort of one angle on something that sometimes people call OPT, other people's traffic. You could call it other people's audience. And that's sitting down. If you are not getting the amount of people you want to get for your content, your written content, audio content, I don't care what it is. You need to think about who else has the audience that you want. Now, some industries are what's been called a non-zero-sum game. And what that means is nobody buys one diet book. The number of diet books that people buy is either zero or a whole bunch. You know, people who buy diet books, diets don't really work very well. So people buy one thinking, well, this one's going to do it. And then it doesn't do it. And then they buy another one. Business books are this way, hopefully not for exactly the same reason, but because business is a complex topic. And it's a topic about really executing on the fundamentals, which I think you could also argue fitness, you know, and nutrition is also true of. People need ongoing sort of refreshment on the fundamentals, new ways of thinking about them, new takes on them, and just new inspiration to keep executing on the basics. Study guides, even, you know, if you're gonna take a big test, if you're gonna take the LSAT or something like that, you probably pick up two or three or four study guides, and then focus most of your time on the one you find the best. But you bought three or four. So there are some industries in which it's not a zero-sum game. You can have more than one winner. If that is your kind of business, then there will be other publishers in your topic. And you will have more success together than you will individually. So if you are a fitness blogger or a nutrition blogger, you know, make lots of friends in your industry and be on one another's podcasts and hang out on one another's Facebook pages and create content for each other. Obviously, among people who have the same philosophy as you do, the same, basic ethos of your topic that you do, more is better. You know, you can go farther together than you can by yourself. Now, sometimes, either for real reasons or for illusory reasons, we are playing a zero-sum game. So if I'm going to get knee surgery, I'm going to use one surgeon, right? I'm not going to like get knee surgery with this doctor and then just get knee surgery on the other knee for it with another doctor because that was so much fun the first time. Some things really are a zero sum thing. There is a winner and everybody else loses. Obviously, elections work this way. Sometimes it's not a zero-sum game, but people think it is. So I remember I had a beauty blogger in one of our communities, and she was really frustrated because she couldn't get anywhere to guest post because other beauty bloggers were very kind of jealous, you know, of their position, and they didn't want to share content with anybody else. They didn't want to give anybody else space on their blog. That is less true now. So the beauty YouTubers and the beauty bloggers and the nail bloggers and YouTubers, they do kind of go hang out on each other's channels. But at the time, the perception wasn't there. The perception was that it was a zero-sum game and she couldn't get any traction with other beauty bloggers. That's when you ask yourself that question, who else has the audience that I want? So if you're a beauty blogger, there's all kinds of content creators that might want to talk with you and have you, you know, create a guest post or have you on a podcast. Anything from parenting bloggers to somebody blogging about career and professionalism to somebody blogging about work-life balance. There's all kinds of things. Those people have the audience you want. You just have to craft your content to build the bridge. So those are some preliminary ideas for finding more traffic. You can pay for it. You can network for it. So you can go out to, you know, other people's audiences, other blogs, other content publishers, also other big social media presences like someone with a big Facebook page. You can use organic search. That one, again, a little bit like paid traffic. Be careful about relying on organic search for all your traffic because the algorithms do change and businesses do get left high and dry if 100% of your business is coming from search. There are, you know, some other techniques and tactics that I have talked about. I actually have a free ebook. It's called Effective Content Promotion. And it talks about what I talked about today, but it also talks about things like why you can get more traffic by making more enemies. It talks about using the power of community identity. We've been talking a lot about that on Copyblogger lately. It gets into four ways that guest blogging can help you grow your audience, and guest blogging is still very, very powerful. It's, you know, sometimes people think it doesn't work anymore, but actually if you do it correctly and you understand why you're doing it, it works very, very well. It does not work as a cheap SEO tactic, but it works very well when it's done well as an audience growing technique that also has SEO benefits. And then in some ways, kind of the hardest part is finding other people in your network, right? Finding people, you know, other content publishers, again, the people with the big Facebook group, and not only finding them, but making a meaningful connection to them. So I also included a 10-point plan for connecting with influencers. And that really comes from my own observation and, you know, watching how people interact with me, how I have interacted with other people, people I have been able to reach, people I haven't been able to reach, and just really sharing everything that I've observed on that topic. Because I think it's tricky. It's a little bit emotionally laden because we admire people and sometimes we get a little insecure about approaching them. But there really are some ways to do it that can be very effective, as well as a few ways to do it that are not so effective that we'll talk about as well. So that ebook is called Effective Content promotion. It is part of the free content marketing library at My Copy Blogger. We have, I don't even remember how many, a whole bunch, like, you know, way over a dozen free ebooks for you on all different elements of content marketing strategy. There is an ebook there on search engine optimization that I think you'll find very helpful, as well as things like content strategy, keyword research. So you can get access to the complete content marketing library by going to copyblogger.com. And if you look on the education tab, there's a little subsection there, free My Copy Blogger. And that's where all the cool free stuff is. You can get access to it right away. Drop your email address in there and we will get the whole library over to you, as well as some other stuff that I think you're going to find useful. So that's it for today. If you have a favorite traffic strategy, drop it in the comments. We would love to hear more about it. You can find those at copyblogger.fm.